Welcome to Flawless Conversations. I'm Tamika Jones, and today we're diving into how mindset can shift your life, your confidence, your purpose. You're watching Now Media Television.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Flawless Conversations, the space where we hold honest, healing, and empowering conversations designed to help women reconnect with their inner truth, their confidence, and their worth. I'm your host, Tamika Jones, and today's conversation is for every woman who has ever felt shame, fear, or hesitation around money decisions. Our guest today is Dominique D'Andrea, a retirement-focused financial professional who believes that retirement and financial planning as a whole is not an ending, but a powerful new beginning. Dominique is known for his compassionate, clarity-driven approach to helping individuals redefine what financial security really means, especially for women who want peace, confidence, and freedom around their money choices. Today, we're talking about something so many women carry quietly, the fear of making money mistakes. That fear can keep us stuck, silent, or second-guessing ourselves. This conversation is about releasing that fear, rebuilding trust, and learning how financial education can feel supportive instead of overwhelming. Dominique, I'm so grateful to have you here to create a space for this important conversation.
Thank you for having me, Tamika.
The challenge many women face is deep-rooted fear around money, fear of making the wrong choices, fear of shaped by past mistakes, or the programming around the word lack. Over time, that fear turns into shame, avoidance, and self-doubt. Dominique, why do so many women carry fear instead of confidence when it comes to making financial decisions?
That's a great question, Tamika. The problem is what I've seen over and over again over the years, and it's starting to change, but most women weren't given permission to practice money. And with that, confidence comes from repetition, not perfection. And so if you're not looking at this, that you have to make the perfect decision every time you do something, you're going to get better and better at it. And because they were taught subtly that financial mistakes is dangerous or irresponsible, they're afraid to be curious, you know, curious about their decisions. And in turn, they might not even decide to make a decision.
I totally agree. And then especially if you were brought up in the household where, you know, only certain people made those decisions, those financial decisions, right? And then you grow up, you become an adult and you rely on other people to make those decisions, or you don't make the financial decisions based on fear or just self-doubt, right? So I totally agree with that.
Exactly.
What is one gentle, realistic step a woman can take to begin rebuilding trust with herself around money?
That's a great question. You need to start small. Do it on purpose. Sometimes just review an account. Ask questions without apologizing or setting tiny savings goals. You know, trust isn't rebuilt through big moves. It's rebuilt through evidence. Each small decision that doesn't end in disaster rewires the nervous system a little bit and starts to give confidence. It also benefits by working with somebody that understands how to help you build confidence and understand that each member of a family unit is very important in the financial planning strategy, unlike previous generations where predominantly the man was the financial decision maker.
And you are so right, Dominique. Mindset is so key. Rewiring our thoughts, right, and calming our nervous system when it comes to money, you know. And like I said before, that fear of lack or self-doubt or not having enough, or even the resources, like you said, surrounding yourself with people or tapping into different resources to help you make these financial decisions can help. And many times I feel women don't know where to start, right? They don't know where to start. And it may be because it's so overwhelming when we think of money, finances. It can become overwhelming with the savings, with trying to invest, with trying to save for kids' college, and just figuring out where to start and how to manage, right, the money. So yeah, I can see that one step at a time, taking one step at a time to rebuild that trust around the word, the money, right? And money
Yes.
is energy, right? Money is it's paper, but it's energy, right? And it's how we and a lot of times we are programmed, as a young adult, right, to think of money however we. For me, I can give an example. For me, I grew up not having enough, right? Borderline poverty, right? Whatever my mom put on the table, that's what we had to eat, right? And there were no Christmases. I remember one Christmas we, had stuff from Goodwill, right? Salvation Army, actually. I had a doll. My sister had a red purse underneath the Christmas tree, but it was about family. But again, growing up, you see those dynamics, right? And if you don't change the way you think, or change your thought process around money, then you're going to continue to live in lack. Like I said, for me, I had to change the way I think, right, in order to break that cycle of living in lack and start saying, no, I'm not living in lack. I'm living in abundant. I believe that. I'm gonna put some money away to invest. I'm gonna put some money away to save. It might not be a lot, but it's some, right? So we have to change the way we think. So I totally agree. How can financial, this is a good question too, Dominique. How can financial education be reframed so it feels empowering and supportive instead of intimidating or judgmental?
That's a great question. Education should never feel like a test. It should feel like support. It should feel like you're listening to the person that's talking to you is listening to what your goals, needs, desires are, and then they make you feel comfortable with how they explain the answers, so you understand what you're doing and why you're doing it, and know that if a month from now, 2 months from now, whatever, down the road, you have another question, you can feel comfortable asking that person questions because they're taking the time and energy to make sure you understand how your fears and desires are going to be worked out to help you have a great future.
Yes, spot on, spot on. And what are some of the resources you offer, some of the services you offer to women and men?
That's a great question. We have a few different financial planning software programs that really help take the clients or prospective clients' information and put the data into a report that now we can show the prospective client how they're going to obtain those goals. And we make sure we view those goals at least on a yearly basis. It could be more, depending on the person's needs, but at least on a yearly basis, because things change in your life on a daily basis. I mean, somebody might have a kid, somebody might sell their house, buy a new house, retire, get an inheritance. So anybody that we meet with, we make sure they know that if any drastic changes in their lives, we might not be the first person they call, but we should be in that first group of people they call so we can help them adapt those changes to whatever, however it affects their goals and needs and desires.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And Dominique, I always ask the guests to give the audience a flawless nugget and a flawless fact. The flawless nugget is something that we can take away from this session here. Something that we can put in our back pocket. The audience can put in our back pocket and use when times are hard financially. And then the flawless fact will be something fun, something interesting, just anything you want us to know about you.
Great questions. To me, the flawless nugget is, and I'm going to use a quick story. Like a few years ago, a prospective client was interviewing us to decide if we were going to become their financial advisor. And they were talking with three different advisors to pick from who they were going to work with. And they picked myself and my business partner, Stefan. And the reason they picked us is of the three advisors they were interviewing, we were the only ones that asked the wife questions. Wow. Everybody else was concerned with the man. And that is the biggest problem. If somebody's not attentive to your needs when you're interviewing them, they're not going to be attentive to your needs after they get your money. So make sure when you're working with somebody that, you know, it might not just be about fees. It might not just be about product. It's about a connection.
Yes. I love that. If someone isn't attentive to your needs before you start working with them, chances are they're not going to be attentive to your needs after you. And that can be a relationship. That could be, thanks for that nugget. I love it. That goes a long ways and can be applied to a lot of different things. So thank you.
Fun fact. I'm a dad. I have a son and a daughter. A wife and my dog Cooper, who's actually my chief rollover specialist. If you go on my website,
I saw that.
Be cool. You know, being part of your family, teaching, you know, what's important. You know, I've always raised my children to not brag about who they are, not brag about their talent. Go out and whatever they're doing. My son was a competitive soccer player for years. My daughter is a competitive dancer. And I tell them all the same thing. When you get on that stage or that field, you just be the best that you can be. You can't control your competition. You can't control your teammates. But if you can hold your head up high, that to me is the greatest life lesson, is just to teach the next generation just to try to be the best they can be.
Yes, I agree. I love it. Dominique, this has been such a meaningful conversation. Where can women follow your work and continue learning how to build confidence and peace around their financial future?
Well, the best place to go is our website, which is dandarawealthmanagement.com. Full group of resources on the website, including client testimonials, who we work with, talking about the products, you know, our different platforms that we use to help in the planning. And anything else you want to find out, our fee structures on there. So we are very transparent. And that's the one thing I found when people talk to us, is they like that when they meet us, they knew a little bit about us.
Awesome. I love it. Dominique, thank you so much for bringing clarity, compassion, and reassurance into this topic that often feels heavy and also intimidating at times. Today's conversation reminds us that every fear around money doesn't mean we're incapable. It means we're human. Every woman watching, your past does not disqualify you from a confident financial future. You are allowed to learn. You are allowed to ask questions. And you are absolutely allowed to grow without shame. I'm Tamika Jones, and thank you for watching Flawless Conversations.
We'll be right back to remind you that healing is possible, confidence is yours, and that you are flawless. This is Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Tamika Jones, and you're watching Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back, Flawless family. Retirement planning is evolving. Today, it's not just about saving enough money. It's about designing a lifestyle that allows people to enjoy the years they worked so hard to build. So, Dominique, how many people still think of retirement as simply stop working?
First of all, that's a great question. From what I come across, too many people, it's stop working. I just can start living on my money and spend it as I need to. And that's all I need to do. And that could be nothing but further from the truth. You need to sit down and build a plan to make sure you do not outlive your money and can enjoy retirement as your second act of life.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So how do you help clients reframe it as a new beginning?
Well, I definitely make sure that when I sit down with clients and prospective clients that we look at their goals, we look at their income, we look at their needs, and we make sure that they understand that it's not just, let me just liquidate money as I need it and not worry about anything. Because if we get one bad correction in the market in your retirement and you're living without a plan, you're definitely going to put yourself in danger of outliving your assets.
Yeah, and having those investments is so key, Dominic. I've learned, and I spent 23 years in the military and retired, right? And definitely retirement is not how I thought my retirement will be, right? I'm needing a additional income, right? So you definitely have to plan, like you said, because retirement is something totally different. It looks different now. So what are some of the biggest emotional and psychological shifts people experience as they approach this life stage, just as I just talked about, right? Like, yeah, it's a shocker.
That's a great question. What I've seen the most of is, you know, people want to retire. They know they need to retire, but they're afraid of change. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I saved into my 401k at work and it's worked great for me. And yes, it did. And it's a great vehicle, you know, to save for your future. But more times than not, you have limited choices, limited options. And again, if you're just doing it as a systematic withdrawal mindset, you're putting yourself in danger of running out of money. So by sitting down with a financial professional and building a plan that's adaptable, reviewable, and changeable based on what's going on in different circumstances, you're putting yourself in a better situation to, when your time comes, to hopefully pass away with at least a dollar left in the account. Obviously, we want more, but we want to make sure you don't run out of money while you're alive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So from your experience, what is the most common mistake individuals make when preparing for retirement?
They don't really think about what they need to do in retirement. People think, oh, I can retire at 62, take Social Security, start taking my money and live on it. And that, again, is going to work for some people, but not the majority. So making sure that you're sitting down with a financial professional to build a plan, again, that's repeatable, that you will end up seeing how it's going to work for you, is going to be better than just trying to hope it's going to work.
Right. I agree. And even like you said, I think we was talking last time, the first segment, we was talking about even knowing the difference between, you know, these investments for your children, right? The UGMA versus the 529. There's a difference, right? Yes. So I had to go get educated on that piece. And it's so important just talking to a financial person, guru, advisor, just to get their expertise and their wisdom, right? Before making decisions, because some of those decisions are costly decisions and could really hurt you financially, correct?
Absolutely. You make the wrong decision with the wrong vehicle, you could lock yourself into something that's not changeable, that might not be the right vehicle, might not be the right way to take it out. So it's really important to review everything. Like I said, with Social Security, you know, everybody thinks, oh, I'm 62, I'm retired, let me start taking Social Security. Well, you could be leaving tens and tens of thousands of dollars on the table if you start it and live a long life. So it's really important to build a plan and build a strategy and look at what's going to work for you.
Dominic, how important is it to align financial planning with personal goals, lifestyle dreams, and also family priorities?
That's a great question. It's extremely important. You know, what do you want to do in retirement? Like right now, I'm not thinking of grandkids today because my kids are 18 and 14, but I'm eventually going to have grandkids. You know, I want to be able to travel with them. You know, I've taken my kids to Disney a couple times. My goal eventually is to take grandkids to Disney or some kind of vacations. So it's not just important for me to plan for me and my wife, but plan for the things I want to be able to do with my children and future grandchildren. and build that into a plan that I have for myself, but also find when I'm sitting down with a prospective client or clients, is make sure what they want. You know, what are their goals? Because if you don't ask those questions, they might not think of that in their plan. And then 5 years from now, 10 years from now, they come to me and say, you know, I want to take my family on vacation. And if we didn't budget for it, now they could be destroying what they planned for because they didn't tell me that that was an important concern. So I will always ask, how do they want to live in retirement? What are their goals? Is travel important? Is buying a vacation home important? Because if you don't know that and you plan for just $5,000 a month in income and they're going to be good, and now they come back to me and say, well, I need $20,000 to take a big family trip, and we didn't allocate for it. Well, now we got to take it from somewhere. And if we're taking it from the place that's generating the income, well, now they're going to have less money to live on because they didn't tell me. So that's why it's very important that when someone's retiring is that we sit down and really look at the whole big picture of what is needed.
Absolutely. I agree. So what advice would you give someone in their 40s, 50s-ish, who wants to start preparing now for a fulfilling life?
Great question. I would not look at the 401k, 403b, or any retirement accounts as the end all be all. And, you know, we'll sit down with a client, we'll start building them the plan so they know, okay, this is how we're going to allocate the money when we get 259 and a half, 60, 65, 67, whatever it might be. We already started building the plan and laying the groundwork for what they need.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the best advice ever. And then sometimes people think it's too late once you're in your 40s and 50s and they want to, and it's never too late. You might be behind the curve a little bit, but you never, some is better than none, correct? Something is better than nothing.
Absolutely, right? 100%. You know, yes, if somebody hadn't started saving in their 40s and 50s, obviously, you know, I'm not going to be able to give them the same retirement and be able to give somebody that started saving in their 20s. But if you think you can't do and you can't save and you're not going to have enough money and you don't start, well, like you said, you're never going to have any money. You're not going to be able to retire comfortably and you're not going to have any assets. So I always tell people, let's save as much as you can. Let's try to get caught up as much as you can. You might have to work a few more years longer than you initially wanted to. But the worst thing you want to have to do is go back to work in your late 60s, early 70s, because you ran out of money and didn't plan properly.
Absolutely. Flawless family, retirement today is not just about stepping away from work. It's about stepping into a life you've intentionally designed. When we return, we'll explore the strategies that help individuals protect their wealth and create lasting financial confidence. More to come on Flawless Conversations.
We'll be right back to remind you that healing is possible, confidence is yours, and that you are flawless. This is Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Tamika Jones, and you're watching Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. Are you ready? Let's go.
You're watching Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. Download the Now Media Television app on Roku, iOS, or Android, or anytime at nowmedia.tv. Welcome back to Flawless Conversations. Financial confidence comes from having a strategy that adapts to life changes, market fluctuation. Life events happen and goals evolve, which means financial planning must be both flexible and you must have discipline. A strong financial plan is not only about investments. It involves risk management, long-term strategies, and making informed decisions that protect what your people, your family have built. Dominique, how do you help clients balance that growth, the growth opportunities, and also help them protect their assets?
That's a great question. In the first meeting we have with our clients, prospective clients, as a pre-retiree or a new retiree, we want to look at what their assets are and figure out what their needs are. Because the one thing we don't want somebody in retirement to worry about is the first of the month comes around and they need to pay their bills. So we will usually utilize one of the income annuities we have. Because that gives them a guaranteed stream of income on a portion of their assets to know that their bills are covered. Then we'll diversify the remaining assets into different buckets based on their risk profile. So they'll have some that might be used sooner for that emergency fund, the vacation fund, whatever it might be. And some could be a little more aggressive because that could be sitting around for 5, 10, 15 years to let grow for a legacy, grow for planning for their future, leaving to charity, whatever it might be. And the more that somebody's built up, the more creative we can be with their planning.
Awesome. I love it. So, what if someone's in their late 50s, ready to invest like now, have the money, have all the things, and I'm ready to invest versus someone that's 20 who's like, oh, yeah, I'm ready to invest? What will they take the same risks or how would that work if someone's 20s ready and someone's 58 and ready to invest?
That's a great question. Risk is really more individualized. We have a risk questionnaire that we do with every client and prospective client that we want to make sure that they understand how risk is related to them. And the questionnaire really helps them understand that. You know, I have clients in their 20s and 30s that are way more conservative than I might nudge them to be, but I want them to be comfortable. And I've got clients in their 50s, 60s, and 70s that are more aggressive than maybe they should be because that's what they were comfortable with and how much assets they built up with. You know, if I've got a client that built up a few million dollars for retirement, I can definitely play with some of it and let it grow and continue to build a legacy. If I've got someone that you built up a couple hundred thousand and they're really going to be living paycheck to paycheck, I'm going to have to probably be a little more conservative in their strategy or not, you know, guide them in that direction. So it really depends on the individual and how much they were able to build up in savings.
So financial planning is kind of customized, strategically customized for each client. Nothing's cookie cutter.
Absolutely 100%. I would not recommend working with a financial advisor that they show you something and that's the same plan they show for every individual because, again, each person's in a different situation, whether they're married, whether they have kids, whether they have charities they want to leave money to. So there is no way that I could say, okay, this is the plan that I showed Tamika, and now I'm going to show it to Steve. Tamika's plan is definitely going to be different than the plan I showed to Steve in some way, shape, or form.
Awesome. Dominic, how many people worry about, well, many people actually worry about outliving their savings, right? Living longer than what they plan on saving. How do you address that concern in your the planning process?
That's a great question. It's very important to have, again, as I said before, some guaranteed vehicles in your retirement planning strategy, because then at least you know that portion you can't outlive no matter what happens in your life. You know that the first of the month you're getting X check for however long God has you on this planet and your significant other. With a proper planning, I'm making sure that the whichever spouse outlives the other one, they still know where they are financially, they still know what their means are, and they have the assets to live on.
Awesome. And you know what? You know what I hear a lot too. I just don't have the money to invest or to save. How true is that? Like, just, I mean, I know we're all at different levels financially, right? But when you hear people say, Dominique, I just don't have the money to invest or to save. Let's just say save, you know, baby steps, right? To save right now. What do you say to that person who says that?
Well, first of all, that's a great question. Second of all, I'm going to do a deeper dive into where they're coming from, because there are people that aren't making enough money and are paycheck to paycheck and no matter, and they're living on a very tight budget. So there, for those people, I feel bad. But there are people out there that we can't help, even no matter how much we want to. But then there's people out there that are shoppers, they're spenders. You know, they're driving the $1,200 a month Mercedes and they can't save. For those people, I'm going to sit down and say, you know what, the next time your car's up, you really need to save for retirement. Because yes, a car is nice to have. It's a pretty car, but if we could lower you to a $600 payment or a $400 payment instead of the $1,200 payment, now we have $600 to $800 a month that you're used to spending, that now that could help you catch up for retirement. And if we can plan properly, in retirement, maybe you can get that expensive car or that expensive luxury item. But to not be able to save to overly enjoy life today, you're never going to be able to retire comfortably.
I totally agree. How can individuals remain confident about their financial future, even when we know like the market is up and down, very unpredictable?
That's a great question. Yes, the market's going to be up and down. Right now, we're in some turmoil in the market. I believe in the near future, once the stuff that's going on in the Middle East is over, it'll fix itself and we'll be back. But it's, again, building a plan. You know, when we build a plan, we have a financial software planning that we use, and it's reviewable at a minimum on a yearly basis. So you're going to know where you stand on a regular basis. Any of the plans we design for clients, you can actually look at. The client can go in and sign and look at it whenever they want. And they'll know that they're in the best possible situation long term. Because especially that person in the 20s and 30s, the market shouldn't be as big of a concern for them because they've got time to absorb a downturn. The clients that are getting close to retirement or in retirement, if they had proper planning, they shouldn't be as concerned. But again, it's making sure that they understand risk, understand where they should be, and not just moving money around because they're scared.
And a lot of times people do that. I've heard of people managing their own assets, and they go in when something happens, like now, you know, we're in this stuff we have going on in the Middle East, and immediately they'll draw their money out or they'll move it around, right? Because they don't have someone to help them, you know, a expert, a SME to help them make those calls for them. They're just doing it based on what they see, right? And that could be very scary.
Yeah, I mean, you know, many times I'll sit down with somebody, oh yeah, my friend in the next cubicle told me this is how they invest and this is what makes sense for me. It doesn't. You know, I wouldn't work with a financial advisor that puts their fist down and says, absolutely not, no, you can't do that. I'd work with a financial advisor that will explain to you why it doesn't make sense for you and educate you, because an educated client understands what makes sense for their situation and they're less likely to make decisions that are going to hurt them in the long term.
Absolutely. It's getting behind the whys. Why does that? Yeah.
Perfect.
So what are some practical steps viewers can take today to strengthen their financial foundation? Give us some practical steps, Dominique.
Well, first and foremost, do not outlive your means. You know, yes, we can all get credit cards, but you don't want to go buy that expensive pocketbook or watch or whatever it might be if you can't afford to make the payments quickly or at a very low interest rate, because that's hurting how much you can save for your future. And if you want to retire in your 60s, you want to know you have the assets that you could potentially live into your 90s, because people are living way longer. You know, 50 years ago, if you died in your 60s, that was the norm. Now it's a tragic passing. You know, if you don't live to your mid-70s and later, you're not living the life expectancy. So you want to make sure that you can put away enough assets that you can live a long life not worrying about, what you're going to leave in inheritance potentially, but what that you're going to live on enough that you can pay your bills and not be strapped.
And that's very important. That's key, because not only financial peace, you're striving for that, but also medical, healthy. A lot of times we get older, we start getting these ailments and medical conditions that kind of lead us down another path, right? And what if we're not able to work until we 60 because of some financial, I mean, because of some medical condition, that you have, and that could be very scary, very scary.
Absolutely, 100%. And if you can't work because of disability, yes, you might have planned with a disability insurance, Social Security disability, but you're not going to make what you were making working, and you're not going to be able to save anymore. So it's very important that you plan ahead for the rainy days as best as possible. When you're worried about outliving your assets. One vehicle that we potentially look at is long-term care insurance, because the last thing you want to do is have a minor long-term care event that could destroy you financially in retirement. People don't think about it, but if, say, you broke your hip, you could be out of commission for a year or so, and that care and rehab and everything could cost you tens of thousands of dollars. Well, if you have proper planning, then you can know that you've planned to pay for that and you're not draining your assets. So then when you are better and able to travel again, you can still do that because you plan properly.
Yes. Oh, I agree. That's proper planning. Yes. Financial peace of mind doesn't come from guesswork. It comes from thoughtful planning and disciplined strategy. Coming up next, we'll talk about legacy and how people can create a future that benefits not only themselves, but the generations that follow. More to come on Flawless Conversations.
We'll be right back to remind you that healing is possible, confidence is yours, and that you are flawless. This is Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Tamika Jones, and you're watching Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to Flawless Conversations. When individuals think about financial planning, they often focus on their own retirement years. But true wealth planning looks beyond the present and considers the long-term impact on family, community, and future generations. Legacy planning allows individuals to align their financial resources with their values, ensuring their life work continues to make a meaningful difference. Dominique, how do you begin conversations with clients about legacy and that long-term impact?
That's a great question. The first step is always looking at life insurance need, because that is the easiest way to create dollars where dollars might not have been. If you get $1 million life insurance policy, depending on what type of policy, it's not going to cost you $1 million. It costs you some number much less than that, than if it's term or whole life. So it's the basis starts with life insurance. Then it moves on to true legacy planning. How do you want to send your assets to the next generation? And it's very important to get your documents in place, like we talked about a little bit earlier, prior to getting on the call, having a trust, having a will, having power of attorney, healthcare proxies. Because when somebody passes, if those documents are not in place, your loved ones could be throwing away tens and tens of thousands of dollars in court fees to get everything planned out properly.
Yes, and things end up in probate court, and it could be years before you ever settle out of court with your loved one, house or boat or whatever it is, because they never took the time to, like you just said, spell out everything when they were living, right? Their assets. What are some ways families can start preparing for generational wealth transfer. We just got finished talking about this. So some ways family can start preparing now for that generational wealth transfer.
Well, that's a great question, first of all. I mean, that's one of those things you start planning when you have a family, you know, because you don't know, we don't know when our time is going to come. You know, we all know that tragic story where kids lost their parents at a young age. So we don't know when that's going to happen. So it's always important to start planning as young as possible. Again, working with a financial planner, working with potentially estate attorneys or somebody that can help with those potential vehicles, because once the documents are in place, they can always be reviewed and adapted and changed. But if they're not in place, you could have a major problem with it. You know, my mom passed away at a young age, and we didn't have proper documents in place. It was extra work moving the assets around. Now, luckily, we didn't have any issues with lawsuits or people coming at it. But without the proper documents in place, somebody could say, well, XYZ person promised me these assets and fight it in court. They might never have said that, but now your loved ones might be forced to write a check to somebody that shouldn't be getting anything because you didn't properly plan. You might want proper planning also could be help with taxes, with charitable giving. You know, so if you want to leave money to a specific entity, you could start that while you're alive and get tax deductions and tax write-offs to help your legacy for your family. And again, these are things that working with a financial professional, they can help you with making maximizing how your dollars are transferred to the assets, to the entities you want them to go to.
Absolutely. And it's so important for your loved ones to be educated on this financial piece. Financial literacy is huge. And I have my daughter is 8, and we downloaded the Acorn app, Go Henry, and we're basic. We started with that, right? But we have to start somewhere. So how important is financial education for the next generation when building lasting stability?
That's a great question. It's extremely important. You know, I look at my generation and my parents and my grandparents, they knew saving, they knew the Great Depression era, but they never taught my parents what to do in the plan. My parents did a little bit, but from those lessons, I learned how important it is to educate my children and teach them financial literacy, understanding the value of the dollar, that yes, mom and dad go to work, but it doesn't mean we have unlimited resources just to pay for anything and everything. In fact, I think I might have said this on the first segment, but my son, we taught him, I guess, so well financially that he realized that when he, you know, going to college, he wants a business degree. He's going to SUNY Farmingdale, which in New York State, it's one of the highest rated internship opportunity schools in all the SUNYs, and it's less than 9,000 a year. He's got friends that are going to private schools, getting a business degree, spending 60, 70, $80,000 a year. So in his 4 years, we're going to spend less than some of his friends are spending on 1 year of college.
And it's the same degree.
It's the same degree. So as long as he presents himself professionally when he interviews, he's got the same chance to get the same job as one of his friends that is going to spend 10 times, almost 10 times a year what we're spending. So it's very important that you teach your children the value of the dollar. It's not, okay, well, mommy and daddy can just keep spending. Oh yeah, you have access to the credit card. You can keep spending. My children have access to one of my credit cards, but they know to give me a call if they're making a purchase outside of the normal. They need to get lunch after school or, you know, a snack. If they want to buy a shirt in the mall, even though it's not going to cost me a lot of money, they know not to just buy it. You know, dad, can I buy this sweatshirt? Dad, can I buy this makeup? It's my daughter. Whatever it might be, they know to ask first because they know that I got to pay that bill.
Right. And you starting young, start them young. Like I said, daughter have the Acorn account and she has chores that she have to do. It's 25 cent. Helping mommy taking the grocery is a dollar and ten. If you so each little thing, each all of her chores add up to money and she get that. Now, do I pay her for every chore? No, because some like brushing her teeth, no, you're supposed to do that. Making your bed, no, that's something you're supposed to, you know. So it's that balance, but at the same time, I'm teaching her something, you know, and it start, like you said, it start when they're very young, to create that legacy that we're trying to build. But in your experience, what values tend to shape the most meaningful legacy plans?
Really, it's the family. It's your invite. It's your family. How you teach and educate. Like I said, if you don't tell them the dollar is worth a dollar, if you don't teach them, sometimes you got to go out and work to make money. A few years ago, my son was going to be doing a winter camp with his soccer team, and they had the opportunity to sell candy. And yeah, it wasn't expensive. It was like $250, $300 for the winter. But it wasn't about me not wanting to spend the money. It was about him learning, okay, sometimes you got to work to pay for it. And he sold enough candy. I walked with him. He was too young to go around the neighborhood by himself. I walked with him, so I got some exercise, which helped me out, on the good side. But he knows he paid for that winter camp with a little extra work.
Absolutely. And that made him feel good. Yeah, absolutely. So Dominic, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for sharing your insight today. For viewers who want to connect with you and learn more about your work, where can they find you?
The best place is to start at our website, dandarawealthmanagement.com, which you can see the spelling of it behind me. And there's my website now. You can learn about us, learn about what we do. There's client testimonials on there. So it's not just us saying that we're good. We have numerous clients that have written things about us and their experience.
Awesome. So you get, what is the website one more time?
Dandarawealthmanagement.com.
Awesome. I'm Tamika Jones, and this has been Flawless Conversations, where powerful dialogue create clarity, confidence, and inspiration, only on Now Media Television.